I'd like now to welcome Billy Turney. He is the director of the Schola Cantorum of Santa Fe, and we are talking in advance of their spring concert, which is happening on March 1st at 3 o'clock at the Santa Maria de la Paz Catholic Church in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
So Schola Cantorum, is that all medieval music?
It's large part medieval music. I was the director of music at the cathedral for 25 years, and during that time we did a lot of different types of music. So the name Schola Cantorum is from the medieval times, and we do medieval music and some Renaissance music and some contemporary music as well.
So you actually, it's so interesting, you studied at the Pontifical Institute of Sacred Music at the Vatican. That is so hardcore.
I did, and it was a great thing. And you go and you actually live inside the Vatican walls, and you be part of the life, and they put you in the mood. They take you out to the monasteries, and you do some time with the monks, and you go through the ancient manuscripts.
Is it all males doing that?
No, it was mixed. And this was for the English-speaking people of the world that would go over there and do that. That was the course that I went through. And so with that, we had translators, and then I was able to pick up on enough Italian that I could understand quite a bit of it. And so, but we did a lot of music, and we studied some of the details of the music, of how the notes go and why the words are on that, and the bigger picture, and then putting it into practice.
So we're going to listen to a piece right now, Ave Maria Chant. This is a, I guess it's what, from the 14th century?
It is from the 14th century. And the Ave Maria translates into English as Hail Mary. It's the second best known prayer in the Catholic Church. And it has three different parts. The first two parts are actually from Scripture themselves. And then interestingly, the last part was added in the 14th century. And it was the time when the plague was just ravaging Europe, and people were praying, you know, asking for prayers at the time of their death. And so the very end, please pray for us at the hour of our death. And so this chant comes from that time, became very popular.
Where would people hear it? Only in church?
You don't hear it very often these days, so you're either going to hear it.
No, but I mean in the 14th century.
Oh, in church, in the monasteries, and so it would have been pretty popular, and people took it into their own homes, and so it was a pretty popular chant because it was just a way that they prayed.
What is the difference, and we're going to hear it in just a second, but what is the difference between this kind of music and, for example, Baroque music, which came after, just to give people a way to listen to
it? Okay, so during the medieval times, which lasted up until kind of the end of the 15th century, people sang in this chant type of style, typically, where it was one voice and it was all in unison, and then they started singing in two voices, and say that would be like a tenor and a soprano would be singing together, and then so that would happen kind of in the Renaissance period of, say, the 1500s, and then by the 1600s and the 1700s, when the Baroque period came along, they were singing in soprano, alto, tenor, bass, and everybody had their own part, and they all sang the same words, but at the different times.
So let's hear the Ave Maria from the 14th century.
Okay.
Ave Maria, grazie.
This piece actually come from?
It comes from France, and you know, France was kind of they were affected by the plague big time, and so out of that came much of Gregorian chant as well, comes out of France itself, and this is one more piece. It came out of 14th century France.
When we listen to the piece we just heard, it seems like it would really sound great in a big old cathedral.
Exactly. And so when I was doing music at the St. Francis Cathedral, that's just the kind of sound that we had all the time, and I was very attracted to it. And then over at the Vatican, at the Pontifical Institute of Sacred Music, we did all our music in these big kind of cathedrals all the time. Just recently took a trip over to France where we sang in the big cathedrals kind of thing, and so that music lends itself to it big time. It's very exciting, very fun to do.
It seems like this is kind of music, although it's really, nearly ancient, is still very popular. This kind of simplicity of that single voice or that single line in unison is compelling in some magical way.
I agree. And so many people, they describe it as meditative or calming and those kinds of things. And certainly it has. And you know, it's really withstood the test of time for many, many centuries. It goes back nearly 2,000 years. And so it is. It's good stuff.
When you rehearse and you're presumably in some room with a carpet and acoustic tile ceiling and things like that, how do you adjust your sound for a big space?
Excellent question. We put that together, we learn the text, we learn the notes, and then we don't fret too much in there. You know, if you can get it right in a place that has, I'll call that bad acoustics or not helpful acoustics, when you get into the big place, it just really plays to your advantage. But we actually try to sing in bigger places as much as possible.
Even to rehearse.
We'll get one of the local churches that we can go in and do this kind of music. And to hear it in its own setting where it does get up and it gets in the room and it feeds back to yourself, it really adds the energy to it and adds to itself and feeds upon itself. And it just gets better and better the more resonance that it has.
One thing that one notices is how different it is from opera singing, which is full of vibrato. This is a very smooth, non-vibrato type of singing style.
You bet. They like to call what they call a white voice, no vibrato. And so the more that you do chant, it's a group of people that come together. The more they do it, the more they sing it together, the more they breathe together, the more people really start singing like each other, and the vibrato calms down and just seems to take care of itself and kind of fall away, and or vibratos that are start matching. And so with that comes that meditative sound and kind of that magical sound.
What's it like to sing it?
It is terrific. It is my favorite type of music, and I've sung lots of different kinds and do lots of different kinds and lots of like lots of music. But it is very calming. And when you get in practice, sadly, there was a friend of ours who passed away a couple weeks ago, and he was a Christian brother. He was about 70 years old, and we sang his Requiem Mass in this Gregorian chant. And it was a very sad event, but at the same time, it was so calming for all of us. And all the Christian brothers that were there, they knew these ancient chants as well, and they were all singing them. And afterwards, we were talking just how calming it was and really uplifting and how nice it was. And it just took the situation and turned it into something as nice as it could be.
There must be people studying the physiological effects. I mean, I know there are people studying the physiological effects of different kinds of music, but this particular kind of music on the human body.
There is. The Gregorian chant in about the 1960s or so kind of fell away as the church turned away from Latin and went to the language of the people, the vernacular, as they called it. And Gregorian chant kind of fell away too. And it was what they call the secular world. It was, you know, that really brought it back. And so someone went out and made a recording of these monks in the 1990s or late 80s. And so it suddenly became very popular. And with that, there was an awful lot of people that started looking in to kind of the physical impressions it made upon people and physiological and how calming it was for them and good for them.
Let's hear something by Hildegard von Bingen. She was a 12th century German nun and mystic and poet whose work still resonates today. Tell us a little bit about her and about this piece that we're going to hear.
Okay, she was born in 1098 in near present-day Frankfurt, Germany, and she was the last of 10 children, and so she became a nun, and when she was in her 40s, she became the mother superior of this convent there, and she was a woman who was ahead of her time, and if lived today, she probably would still be considered as such. She's considered to be the first medical doctor of Europe, in that she's the first person that actually wrote down what we would call today the homeopathic remedies, but she wrote down what was what things worked and what didn't. And this was in a remarkable time when women were not allowed at all to be practicing medicine, at a, as it were. And she was afraid of no pope or king or prince, and she went up against them, and she paid the price. And so, but at any rate, so she was this mystic as well. And so she wrote this music. They weren't doing the Gregorian chant in her monasteries, and so she actually wrote music for her nuns there. And so this music is written by a woman to be sung by women, and just the women in our group sing the Hildegard von music that we do. And in fact, they just won't let us guys sing it.
They won't let you guys sing
right.
it. It's interesting. I think it was the historian Thomas Cahill who wrote a book about how medieval nuns were basically the very first feminists, because all these women doing stuff together like Hildegard von Bingen led to an independent woman, you know, phenomenon.
Very much so. And to their credit, they just didn't give up. And after centuries and centuries of not giving up, it made a big impression at long last.
That is a great example of unintended consequences by the church. But anyway, let's listen to this piece, Ave Generosa.
Yes, and they pronounce it Generosa.
Generosa.
In there, because there's ecclesiastical Latin, and that's the Latin the church uses, and then there's classical Latin. But in that part of Germany, they would have pronounced it with a G instead of a J. So you're right on the money, and that's how the ladies sing it in here. And so Ave means hail, Generosa or Generosa means generous. And so the words in this are, hail to the generous young woman. You're the portal to life.
Let's hear it. Once again, music of Hildegard von Bingen and Ave Generosa.
Yes, very good.
Now, you also do, we've been talking about nothing but religious music, secular music. We have a song called I Sing of a Maiden, which surely was not written by monks, or maybe it was.
Well, it's an anonymous author, composer, and it comes out of, I think, 15th century England. And so it's kind of one of those, did it start in the church or did it start out in the countryside first? But the maiden that they're referring to is going to be the young woman pretending to marry, although they never say that right out loud. And so it's kind of one of those, it's somewhere in the middle.
Ah, okay. And the tradition of secular music of this kind, again, I think it's hard to even imagine what people's musical lives were like a half a millennium ago, because we're used to iPods, CD players, radios, music on the streets, music everywhere. What were the contexts in which people heard secular music in the 15th century?
Not so very much. And a lot of secular music that took place, say, outside on the square, on what we would call our plaza today, a lot of it ended up actually in the church. The buildings themselves were the places where communities went, and you know, inside of a church would not only be just the things like the mass, but it was people would bring their horses in there and everything else. It was the meeting place. As a church, the religious kind of bowed out for a while, say during a revolution, the secular would come in, and that's where they would hold court. And even sometimes court was actually held in church, even when the religious were right in the middle of it. And so with that, a lot of the secular music made its way into the church, and they were done inside the church.
And that was always sung in the local language.
Yes, exactly. And so from that, at one point, probably around the 10th century or so, the church started saying, hey, you know, you can't be doing all of that kind of music inside our church. You got to take it back out there into the square and do it. But there was a lot of crossover back then, and, you know, there's still some crossover today in the church. A church will have some kind of play or something like that. They may call it a passion play or whatever, but it's not too far from what they were doing then. But certainly in those days, the churches, they were the ones that had the resources, the money-wise, for the composers and things like that. So they really housed most of the music in music venues, but the music of the streets made its way through.
So let's hear I Sing of a Maiden by the great composer from 15th century England known as Anonymous.
Exactly.
Talking to Billy Turney, who is director of the Schola Cantorum of Santa Fe. We just heard the 15th century I Sing of a Maiden. Now, how did this Schola Cantorum of Santa Fe come into being? It's 10 people, a small group.
Yes.
Selected among millions.
Of course. Well, during my tenure there as music director at St. Francis Cathedral, I was in charge of a lot of choirs. But I started this choir in 1990, and it was going to have a different focus. We were going to explore what we would call maybe the master pieces of the church, which would be some of the ancient music and the music of the Renaissance period, the 16th century. And so we really honed in on that. And then soon after we started giving some concerts there at the cathedral a couple times a year around Christmas time and in the summertime. And then after I quote-unquote retired, I had some more time, and we actually were able to take it out on the street more. And so we do things around Santa Fe quite a bit. We go to Albuquerque. We've been invited by the Pueblos to go out on their feast days and do music. We'll go up to Colorado, to Pueblo or Colorado Springs, and present concerts up there as well. And so we do some contemporary music, but we still kind of keep that other music as a lot of our core. And I kind of like the smaller groups myself. It's kind of like turning the Queen Mary versus a speedboat. And big choirs are a lot of fun, and they're a lot of fun to sing in. But for me, the smaller choirs, I can get quite a bit done.
The Speedboat Cantorum of Santa Fe.
Exactly.
So you work with experienced singers who know what they're doing.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, you are doing your concert Passio Domini, is that correct?
That's right. That means the Passion of Our Lord. And that's kind of the centerpiece. We're going to do this seldom heard Gregorian chant that's been only heard in monasteries and seminaries for about 1,500 years. And it's been in Latin, but it was translated into English a few years ago by a Benedictine monk. And so we're going to sing that as part of about a dozen pieces out of Santa Maria this coming Sunday.
At 3 in the afternoon. Yeah. For more information, people can call 474-2815. Billy Turney, director of Schola Cantorum of Santa Fe. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me today. Appreciate it.
And we're going to go out with one more piece, and that is another Ave Maria by Tomas Luis de Victoria. That's 16th century Spanish piece.
That's right. He was a Spaniard living in Spain at that time. He did music in Rome, and he went back and spent his days in Spain, but he was another mystic, and his music kind of portends to that. And so when you listen to this, you'll hear all three parts that I mentioned earlier. There's the first two parts of Scripture, and then that last part you'll hear everybody singing together, and they're actually crying out to Holy Mary, Mother of God, to pray for us now and at the hour of our death.
So here we go. Thanks so much for being with us,
Thank
Billy.
Thank you.